ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so this evening we're talking praying for results. Praying for results. We started talking about prayer a couple of weeks back. This evening I'm going to be talking about praying for results. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your goodness towards us. Thank you for the privilege to gather here this evening again. We have come, O God Almighty, to your feet. Lord, thank you, for the Holy Spirit will expound the words in our hearts in the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that you open our comprehension, that we may understand your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to start from John 16. Will be my text this evening, John 16, from verse 23 to 24. And it says that in that day you will ask me nothing. This was Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Of course, by this time, he had not gone to the cross. His name was not a legal tender yet. He says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I take it again. He says, and in that day, and this is the day we are talking about now, in this, you know, in this dispensation. He says, and in that day you will ask me nothing, saying that there is a protocol to praying. There's a protocol to asking. It says, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. We're just praying, singing about the name of Jesus here this evening. It says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. It says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. We could not ask in his name. They could not ask in his name at that time. He says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. First John 5 and verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I want to look at something. 14. First John 5:14. I want to read it in the Amplified. It says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. In him being Jesus, we are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. We should take note of some things here. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, and he now further expounds and says, in agreement with his own plan. That's very important. In agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. So we're talking praying for results. Prayer is the life of the church. prayer is the life of the believer. No, I think there was, when we're growing, I think they used to say, say prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Yes. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Prayer is the life of a believer. It's the life of the church. It's like, of course, we know that we talk about prayer being conversation with God, but at the same time, it is like the lifeline that God has given the church by which we can access, you know, things from Him. So our prayers can be the greatest weapon we possess. Our prayers can be the greatest weapon we possess. And I remember also a saying, I think it would have been by Winston Churchill or somebody, saying that he fed the prayers of a particular man, must be John G. Lake, than an entire army put together. So prayers is the greatest weapon, can be the greatest weapon we possess. It can be the greatest weapon. So when we don't pray, we are not making use of the ammunition, so to say, that God has given us. You know, we are not making use of it. So when we are praying and believing God and we don't get answers to our prayers, we need to find out what is hindering our prayers and correct the problem. How many people have prayed here and you did not get an answer? How many people? Of course, now that is a given. Because I said earlier that there's a protocol to praying. Most of the time, we don't observe the protocol to praying. And so when you don't observe the protocol to praying, you pray and we pray amiss. The message, you would see quite a couple of things. So, first of all, I want us to talk about hindrances to answered prayers. Why don't we get results to our prayers? Why don't we get results to our prayers? Number one reason is unbelief. And somebody saying, if I didn't believe before, would I pray? Yes. We pray a lot of times in unbelief. A lot of times. In fact, fasting self. You know, we fast now. We fast every Wednesday. We fast and pray. I'm sure that, you know, some of us just say, I said we should fast. We will try fast. But, you know, that fasting is not... We are fasting, Sha. You know. So, sometimes we pray in unbelief and even fast in unbelief. And sometimes you fast saying to yourself, so that if somebody say, what have you done? You say, I have fasted. I have prayed. You know, people are quick to say that. I have fasted. I have prayed. I did white fast. I did 40 days. I have done 100 days. You know. But a lot of times, they're actually in unbelief. And why is it in unbelief? Because when you pray without exercising faith in God's word, your prayer will not work. So it's not just that I have a prayer point. If you pray and there's no backing of the word of God in your prayers, it will not work. Just praying won't do it. And we're so quick to pray. You know, we're so quick to just, sometimes, let's pray. In fact, sometimes when, I'm going to talk about that still, you pray out of faith. Sometimes when things are happening, it's not because you have faith. It's like we're just doubting your conscience. Let us pray. Brethren, let us pray, you know. So, if you pray without exercising faith in God's word, that prayer will not work. It won't work. So, a lot of times, we pray in unbelief. We pray in unbelief. We entertain thoughts of doubt and unbelief. And that is the easiest way that Satan gets to us. Because, you know, as you are praying in your mind, or in fact, sometimes in your spirit, Satan is already playing thoughts. Are you sure? Is this thing working? You understand? You have already, this is a big problem. So even though you are praying, your mind is going in 1,000 other directions. So, unbelief is a major one that hinders our prayers. Unbelief is a major one. James 1, okay, verse 5 to 8. it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. It says, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, when we are praying and we entertain thoughts of doubt and unbelief, our prayers are not, it's guaranteed the prayers will not be answered. Mark 11, verse 23. Of course, we dealt a lot with this at the beginning of the year. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, does not doubt. So doubt and unbelief are major reasons why prayers are not answered. Doubt and unbelief. And number two reason, worrying. And this one, I'm sure a lot of us are on this table. Worrying. You know, you're praying. Even though you're praying, you're still worrying. You're still thinking back and forth. How is this thing going to be? What will happen? If God, like as if God, you know, there's this song that we sing now that I like, but okay, we have not sang it here, but it's a popular song. It's a Bethel song. It's the song that says, I see you move in mountains. And I believe you will do it again. And then the person says, he never filled me yet. I'm thinking, are you waiting for God to fill you? Why are you saying God has never filled you yet? Is it that you're waiting for him to fill? That as much as I love that song, that particular sentence throws me off. Are you waiting for him to fill? Say he's never filled me yet, you know, and all of that. So, worrying. Most of the time we pray and we worry. We pray and we are worrying. You know, you are worrying. Yeah. And you know, that worrying is in fact, worrying is a sin. Worrying is a sin because you are doubting God. That's what it is. It's a sin. But a lot of times, we do not see worrying as, nobody talks about worrying as a sin, but worrying is actually a sin. Because, like I said, you are doubting God. It's a case of, will he not? Can he? You know he can. But it's like, will he not? Will he come through? Will he not? You know. So, worrying is something that prevents our prayers from being answered. Because we block and hinder God from helping us if we're worrying and trying to figure out how the answer is going to come. Like I said, worrying is a major one. Because, you know, a lot of us have been brought up to do things by ourselves. Quite a number of us are very independent. So, even though you are praying, in your mind you are calculating. You are saying, for instance, you are looking for money, or you are praying to God for money, you have asked God for money. And me, even I will confess to you, I trip on this a lot of times. You are asking God, but in your mind you are saying, if somebody gives me more money, somebody owes me money. So if that person pays, assuming that person just paid now, and then somebody, you have negated the prayers. Prayers have gone into voicemail. That is the end of it. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. Because he says to cast your burden on him. Like I said, a lot of times what we do, we cast, then we come back and say, it's still there. It has not changed. It has not moved. So we're praying and we're helping God to calculate how he's going to do it. Once you have done that, that prayer has gone into voicemail. No answer is coming from that area. And like I told you, even me, I trip here because it took me a long time to realize that. When you pray, just leave it. It is difficult. But just leave it. Leave it. Don't go back there and come and be checking it. And come and be calculating. You are calculating with your mind. I need 1 million. You have asked God for the 1 million, but you have gone back to say, if I ask, maybe I should ask Akin for 500,000. Akin should be able to give me 500,000. If Akin gives me 500, at least that is like half of the money. How many of us do that? All of us do it. And then we wonder when the money doesn't come. The money can't come. Because, yes, the money can't come. Because you have taken the responsibility of looking for the money to yourself. You have taken over the responsibility of God. So the money can't come. So worrying is a major one. And it's something that, like I said, a lot of us trip over. We don't even know that that's what we are doing. But once you are praying, you cannot afford to worry. You cannot afford to worry. So if you are going to worry, better not pray. Just continue your worrying. Because praying is a waste of time. Worry hinders us from receiving answers to prayers. It can stop God from being able to move on our behalf. Like I said, 1 Peter 5, and that verse 7 says, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Psalm 55. Let's go to Psalm 55. Let me tell you, getting rid of worry is not something you do like that. You need to, consistently. Psalm 55 verse 12 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5 also talks about that. Talks about it. 1 Peter 5 7 also talks about that. So when we cast our burden, when we're praying and asking God for something, we cannot afford to worry. So it's like when people say, you hear people say, of course, Psalm 121 says, God does not sleep nor slumber. And then someone says, of course, because it's of two things. It's either God is working or you are working. The two of you cannot be working together. That's it. God can't be working, you are working. If God sees that you are working, God will just take a back seat. So the two of you can't be working together. So I was talking about sleeping. Some people still say, okay, because God does not sleep, does he? Nor does he slumber. And someone says, okay, if God is not sleeping, then why should I also not? Why should I stay awake? That is, you have a challenge and you are thinking. But God says he doesn't sleep. God is the only one that is permitted not to sleep nor slumber. You are supposed to sleep. You are created to sleep. So you should not allow anything to worry you up to the point that you do not sleep. Praise the Lord. Once you pray about it, lay down and sleep. Praise the Lord. So like I said, if you're going to worry, then there's no need to pray. If you're going to worry and going to think out the way the problem is going to be solved, don't bother to pray. Just continue on that. So don't ask, is it God is not asking? No. God answers prayers. You are the one that is at fault. Praise the Lord. So the number three reason why we don't receive, we ask amiss. I'm sure a lot of us know that. And we ask amiss. James 3:3. It says, indeed we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us. It's not James. Is it James 3? No. We ask amiss. It's not James 3. Maybe. No, it's not 2. 3:2. Aha. Say 4:3. Okay, shall I know? Yes, don't mind me. How come I go 3:3? Okay, anyway, James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your... So when we are praying, our motive is very important. What is your motive for praying? A lot of our prayers are selfish prayers. So we ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. It's not as if God doesn't want us to have good things. Okay? NLT. It says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You want only what will give you pleasure. Is God against your pleasure? No. But most of the time, that pleasure is you know, the pleasure to the flesh, so to say, pleasure to the flesh, or you want to show. You know that saying, "Let my enemy live long, so that they will see what I will become." You know, so a lot of times that is the motive. The motive is to show. So it says you don't get answers because we ask amiss, essentially because our motives are wrong. The motives are most of the time selfish. So because of that, we don't get answers. Number four, we focus on the problem and not on Jesus. A lot of times, yes, we say we're praying, but we focus on the problem. I'll give you an instance that happened to me. It was some years back. I think my secondary school class was doing, we're doing 25 years reunion at that time. After that, we left secondary school. So we had a big reunion and all of that. And so, of course, what happened was that most of us were meeting again for the first time after we had left school. So everybody was saying, okay, what have you been doing? Where are you? What's happening to you? And all of that. So this, and of course, you know how life is. Life has dealt with some people, you know, nice. Some people have had it really rough and all of that. So anyway, I got into conversation with one of my mates. And she just began to talk and all of that, blah, 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 blah. You know, she just said this, I did this because of this, because of this, because of that, and all of that. And I happened to be in a similar situation. Before I went for that reunion, no, I was not thinking that way. But when I heard all that she said and all of that, ha! For like a whole month after, I was not fine. I'm telling you, I was not. Because even though I had had that problem before, I went for the reunion. Yeah, it was a problem, but it was not the center of my existence or anything. But after that, until I came to another prayer meeting, I now, you know, was telling my friends that this, da, 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 da. And they two started laughing at me. You know, it's like, but you know, it took me going back to say what happened. It was more like I lost my peace. After that incident, this is a problem I've had. It's not as if I just had it, you know. So it took me a while to realize that what happened actually was that I had stopped focusing on Jesus. I now began to focus on the problem. I now put the problem in center stage. You understand? And a lot of times we do that. So when you put a problem, so even though you are praying, but the problem is consuming you. You are consumed by the problem. You are thinking it. You are waking up. You are eating it. You are drinking it. You have prayed, though. Don't forget that you have prayed. But you are focusing on that problem. And you are saying to yourself, it's more like you have put God and the problem on a balance. And God is like that. And the problem is, you know how you use that scale? You have put God and the problem on a scale. And God is down, and the problem is, you know. So, when we focus on the problem and not on Jesus, when we pray, we do not get answers. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. And this is a scripture that we quote a lot, but, you know, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I dare say that in between these, you know, he says the author, he says the Alpha and the Omega, and everything in between. So it's not just, okay, yes, it's the author and the finisher. So you're not waiting until the end. Even where you are right now, he's the author of it. So looking unto Jesus, the author. So we are consistently supposed to look unto Jesus. So when you pray, like we said this evening, like he said, we judge God faithful. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, you judge God faithful. You do not focus your attention on the problem to the detriment of looking unto Jesus. When you do that, your prayers will not be answered. Praise the Lord. Number five, the way we pray. You know, some people say, like I said earlier, some people say, I fasted 40 days. I did bri. I did white fast. You break with... I said white. White is that when you break. You break with... You don't eat pepper. You don't eat... I don't know where they found out in the Bible, but they do it. You don't eat pepper. You don't eat oil. You don't put... In fact, some people don't eat salt. It says white fast. Whatever. You say, but you know, the way we say it is like our confidence is in that fast. Our confidence is not in the ability of God. That's the way we say it. We did white fast. We went to Rio K. We went to the valley. Your confidence is in yourself, is in your works. And I dare say, before you even present it to God, it is already thrown out. Because the only reason why God answers our prayers is because of Jesus. It's not because of how good you are. It's not because of what you have done. It's not because of the many fasts you did. If God answers your prayers, it's just because of Jesus. There's no other reason. It's not because you are good. It's not because you are holy or you are powerful. Some people think, I am a good human being. No. It's because of Jesus and because of our standing in Jesus. So the way we pray. So a lot of times some people, we pray with pride. Pride in what we have done. We just finished a 7 days fast. You know. And in another kinikon, we are going to continue. We take pride in what we have done. And God does not regard your works. God does not regard our works at all. I remember... Very many years back, we went to, in our former church, we went to visit a lady that had just delivered, you know, she gave birth to twins. And we're talking, in fact, and she was saying, in fact, you know, it was like, I thought she would have felt that she was sharing a testimony. It was not a testimony. So she was saying, when she first of all got pregnant, that she went to do, when she got pregnant, she went to do scan. The doctor said there is one. She said, it cannot be one. With all my prayer and my fasting, it cannot be one. Then the doctor later said it was two. When I left the place, I said, The way Yoruba says something, a child does not know herbs. He's calling it vegetable. Had it been because of your prayer and fasting, do you know? And you know, I went with another woman that had been waiting on God for, you know, I felt so bad on his, because I was like, prayer and fasting. It's your prayer and fasting that gave you a child. Better keep quiet there, keep quiet. You know, but we do that a lot of the times. We think that God is answering us because we have done this, we have done that. No. The only reason God answers us is because of Jesus and because of our standing in Jesus. Number six, we lack a revelation of the power in the name of Jesus. You know, because we sang about the name of Jesus this evening. We sang, we know. But a lot of times, a lot of us place, you know, it's like we place Jesus and Satan on his scale, and we're like, who is going to win this race? You know, like that kind of thing. We lack a revelation of the power in the name of Jesus. We lack a revelation. Most of the time, maybe because of our environment and all of that, we attribute so much power to the enemy. We attribute so much power to the enemy. You know, we're saying, of course, we say it, you should lack barako nigbala. So that's lagbara, you know, is entrenched in somebody's spirit. Satan is powerful. Satan is very powerful. So are we comparing? We don't say it, and we probably don't know that that's what we're doing, but we actually are putting Jesus or God and Satan on you know, like same platform. No, I don't know who I was telling. I was telling someone, and I said, Satan. I was one young person. I said, Satan is under your feet, under your feet. That's what Satan is under. Saying all that is shulagbara. Please, let's stop it, because the things you focus on are the things that grow. So when you are saying you are, at, you know, I will get in importance to him, it begins to grow. So when you are praying, even though you are praying, at the back of your mind, you are like, this thing is difficult. This thing is hard. As if God is limited in power. We do not understand the power that is in the name of Jesus. Number 7, there are a lot more. There's some more to this, but I'll stop at number 7 because, of course, we're talking about how to get our prayers answered. We pray out of fear. I had mentioned that before. We pray out of fear. We use prayer as a fear douser. Somebody just wants to douse their fear. Say, yeah, you know, and then they are, you know, and with all the gymnastics that we do. But actually, there is fear. There's fear. We pray out of fear. Once you pray out of fear, forget it. Mm-hmm. You know? You begin to call the name of Jesus plenty of times. It's praying out of fear. We pray out of fear. We pray out of fear. And, you know, to wrap that up, I'm going to talk about renewal of mind. A lot of us still need to renew our minds. We need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind. We need to, you know, like I said, because of our environment, there are a lot of things that we have taken in that we need to expunge, that we need to, you know, we need to unlearn and relearn. A lot of things that we have taken in that we just need to get rid of, that you need to detox, spiritual detoxification. You need to detox, you know, so that we get our heads in the right place. Praise the Lord. So what are the essentials of praying to get results? The essentials of praying to get results. John 16. Let me read that scripture again. John 16:23-24. It says, at that time you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. God wants us to have joy. And anytime you pray, how many people have prayed and received answers? And how do you feel? You feel good. Yeah? You feel very, yes. You know, God wants you to have joy. God wants us to have joy. But first thing, essentials when you are praying to get results, find scriptures that cover your case. I'm sure that we have said that here over and over. Pastor talks about it all the time. Don't rush into the place of prayer. When you have something you want to pray about, get the word. And I said it here. Your prayer is not enough. It has to be backed by faith in the word. So you must have a scripture or scriptures that cover your case. We must pray according to the word. 1 John 5. That's what that 1 John 5 was saying. 1 John 5 and 14. It says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. What pleases him? Pastor Minister Akin talked about praying the will, or talking about the will of God in prayers. Yeah. And the will is his word. It's the word. It's his word. You know. So, we need to always get scriptures that cover our case. We need to pray according to the word. Number two, put God in remembrance. Isaiah 43, put God in remembrance. That's what he said we should do. Isaiah 43, verse 25 to 26. It says, I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. It says, put me in remembrance. It says, let us contend together. State your case. State your case. You can only state your case with the word. So what you are doing is taking his word back to him, saying, you said in your word. You said in your word. You said this in your word. You said this in your word. God is not a man that, you are not a man that you should lie. You don't change your mind. In fact, there's some scripture that you should know. As in, you should just, he's not a man that, if I say that's quite, you are not a man that you should lie. You don't change your mind though. He's not man. Today, now I see you, I say, how are you? Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I say, did I say so? I can't even remember. That's not God. He's not a man. Forever, oh God, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is settled. So, he says, put me in remembrance. State your case. Your case is that this is what the word of God says, but this is what it is looking like. And your life has to submit to the word. It has to align with the word. I say that a lot. In fact, talking to my body, I say, body, you have no choice but to align. Your life must align to the word. Praise the Lord. So, put God in remembrance. Put God in remembrance. It's very important. State your case. And that state your case is actually like a legal term, because it is only in court case, in law, in courts that you state your case. But it says state your case that you may be acquitted. Put me in remembrance. Number three, we must pray in the name of Jesus. Of course, that is clear. We are not praying for Jesus' sake. You know, like, bless this food, oh Lord, for Christ's sake. Nah, lie. Jesus is not the one eating the food. Why are you blessing the good for his sake? No. So, we pray in his name. We don't pray for his sake. It's for your sake that you are praying. So, we must pray in the name of Jesus. God hears prayers that is based on the name of Jesus. He hears prayers based on the name of Jesus. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. You will ask the Father in my name. You will not pray to Jesus. You are not praying to Jesus. You are praying to God the Father in the name of Jesus. You are praying to God the Father in the name of Jesus. We're not praying to Jesus. No. Yes, we worship Jesus. Somebody is saying, don't we say, let's. Yes, we worship Jesus, but we do not pray to Jesus. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. Number four, we must cooperate with God by doing our part. And somebody say, when I pray, do I have a part? I have a part too. Christianity is not a no responsibility religion. You always have a part. It's not like, I have a part. God, take. I'm going. No. You have a part. Your part may only be even just confessing. But you have a part. You have a part. You have a part. We must cooperate with God by doing our part. Remember, faith without works. It says, show me your faith and I will show you my works. So faith without works is what? It's dead. So you have a part. There's a part. There's always a part. The part may seem small, but there's always a part. Like I said, for instance, you are praying for money. Your part is not to, number one, not to worry. Number two, to confess and declare that you have the money. And that's what, let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11. Okay. Verse 24. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, that you receive them and you will have them. So your part in here, you have asked, you have prayed. But it says for you to actually receive, you must believe first before you receive. So your part is to believe. You must believe. No, it's not as if, you know what we want to do is that we want to see it before we believe. Our only seeing is believing. But the Bible is believing is seeing. And we should not always forget that. This, like I said, again, is something that we trip over a lot. You want to see it with your koro eyes first before you believe. You have nullified it. You're not going to see anything. Because it is not seeing is believing. That's what we say. Seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. No. If you are doing seeing is believing, you will not see anything. You will not receive nada. It is believing is seeing. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. So, your part now, for instance, I've quoted, you must walk by that faith. That's your part. You must walk by the faith. Even when it seems like it's not coming through, you must stand your ground. You must stand your ground. And that's the fifth thing. We have to stand our ground in against the devil most times. So, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Philippians 4:6. And the peace of God that passes all of So, be anxious for nothing. And you seem to, you know, there's something that is really aggravating you and really, you know. So what is your part? You have prayed. When you have prayed, it doesn't mean that the devil will just not put that thought in your mind. I remember there was a season, you know, when you see people, there was a season I wanted to take a particular decision. I'm not normally a fearful person. People who know me know that. I'm not... I think that is just a gift. I'm not easily moved. After that, what will happen? Nothing. You know, so I'm not easily moved. I'm not a fearful person. But I discovered that I began to have anxiety pangs. It's like, what is this? Where is this thing coming from? You know, so when I think like that, that scripture will just come to mind. And I'm not just coming to mind. I say it out. I will not be anxious for anything. I refuse to be anxious. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of it. You know, I began to put that in my mouth. You don't think it just in your head. You say it out. It took a while. Like I said, this Satan will just not, you know, just go. Even for Jesus, he said he left him for a season. If he left Jesus for a season, who are you? Who you be? You know? So, he will leave. He will come back. He wants to test the tenacity of your faith. He wants to test your conviction. Do you believe what you are saying? So, it took me a while. But every time it seems like I refuse to be anxious. I will not be anxious for anything. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but that of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's how you war with the word. When they say war with the word, that is how it is. You put the word of God in your mouth and speak it. And speak it. And speak it consistently until that situation is settled or disappears. So, we always have a part. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have a part. You have a part. We always have a part. You always have a part. And then number 5, like I said, we have to stand our ground against the devil. We give in too easily. We are quick to give in. We, you know, we don't have staying power, so to say. We're quick to give in. We need to stand our ground in faith on God's word. Declare it. It has to be according. You are the one that will determine that it has to be according to God's word. You are the one to determine that. Nobody else is going to do that for you. If you are satisfied with little, well, that's your decision. So we make a mistake by accepting things which are not from God. say, you know, we'll say that again. I talked about renewing of the mind. There are lots of things that we need to, there are lots of garbage that we need to take out. Say, Amuwa alone. Have you heard that before? It's not Amuwa alone. No, it's not. It's not God that brought it. No. God give it, God take it. No. So we are quick to accepting things that are not from God. Say, it's God. He's sovereign. There is a lot that we have to do. There's a lot that we do not understand the power that we have as born again believers. We do not understand it. We make light of it. We think that we are just mere men. No, you are not a mere man. The Spirit of the living God is inside of you. You are a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed. You are new. So we are quick to accept things which are not from God. We accept it. So for instance, you asked for 1 million and 750 just came in. You say, at all, I ain't bad pass. At least half bread is better than chinchin or something, you know. But do you know that you can stay on that and actually get the 1 million? Or much more. But you say, like I said, at all, I ain't bad pass. So 750, is better than nothing. We do that a lot. We accept things so easily. We cut ourselves short time and time again. You know, like I said, we don't have staying power. Say, this one that I have seen, let me just take it though. I don't even know. Don't know the next time. So let us just take this one and go. No. Is that what you ask God for? Is that what you ask God for? If that is not what you ask God for, you have the right to go back and say, Father. In fact, it's not Father that is even stalling you. It's the Satan that is stalling you. So you can tell him, take your hands off. Yeah. This place is not a no-go area. So, we must stand our ground in faith. Mark 5. I'm going to round up with that. Mark 5. The woman with the issue of blood. Because this is how God expects, you know, there's a flow. This is, with this, you are guaranteed to get anything you want. I know we have talked about this Mark 5 here before when we're talking about faith, but I see that it is the same, you know, how will I call it now? The way this woman did what she did is a principle in scripture, because even in the Old Testament, this was what David did when he wanted to go and fight Goliath. This was what he did. So, Mark 5, verse 25. I may not read it. We know the story. Verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus, she heard. So I'm going to, you know, use David also. David also heard. David heard Goliath making noise. Because sometimes we think, okay, it's only the New Testament. No, apparently it runs through. It runs through, even in the Old Testament. David heard Goliath making noise. Then David began to ask, what's happening here? I say, this man, if you hear. So David heard. This woman too heard. She heard about Jesus. But when she heard, she did something. She went beyond hearing. A lot of times we hear and we don't do anything. She went beyond hearing. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said to herself, she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So when she heard, she did not leave it at just hearing. She said it. She said, if I may. And after this saying, she went ahead to touch. So we're talking David. David also heard that this, And David did what? David was spoken. In fact, you know, they say that in that place, people say it is a war of words. It is the case of the person who can talk the most. Because as Goliath was saying, David was talking, seriously talking, and telling you, who are you? You uncircumcised Philistine. Today I will bring down your head. I will bring it down. I will cut it. Then you will know that there is a living God in Israel. So, your saying is important. You must say it. This woman said it. David said it. They did it. The woman went to touch. David took his stones. After saying it, it's not as if he stood back and said, hey, okay, God is going to. No, he took something. Because I'm trying to imagine, how could stones, just one stone? An angel was guiding that stone. Something was happening. But they didn't need David to release the stone. If David didn't release the stone, what would have happened? Nothing. But they needed him to release the stone. So David released the stone and the angel guided it directly into where he needed to enter. So you say it, you do it, you receive it, and then you testify. Of course, Goliath came down. And David took the Goliath's sword to cut his head, like he had said he would. And he testified. And the woman also, when they asked, what happened? When Jesus said, somebody has touched me. She came out to say. So four things you want to get. We have said this before, but let us just refresh our memory. You say it. You do it. You receive it. And you tell it. You testify. You say it. You do it. It's not enough to say. You must take action. You receive it. And you testify. Kenneth Hagin says, this is how you write your ticket with God. This is a giving. Like I said, that's why I went into the Old Testament, so that you do not think that it is the same thing that David did. Praise the Lord. So praying for results, a lot of that, when we pray and we don't get results or we get results, a lot of it is dependent on us. It's dependent on us. Let's rise this evening.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,